As you all know, on Wednesday night, I like to just talk to you on something that you can use both on the spiritual side and the natural side. And I want to, if you want a title for this, they always, actually, I guess I should give titles, because if I don't give a title, well, when they, you know, it's recorded, and so they give it a title, and then somebody, they come to me and they say, you know, when you preach such and such, I didn't preach that. So, the secret of success. You know, in the world we live in today, there are many offers coming around, and you know, they sound, you know, you get something for nothing, and you don't pay anything. Well, I've never seen anything that was worth anything that didn't cost something. Maybe if it didn't cost financial, it cost you in labor or whatever. And, you know, life doesn't work that way. Life is what you put into it, is what you get out. If you ask people who have achieved great things in life what their secret is, they would say, simply work hard. In other words, apply yourself to the task, whatever it may be. You know, most of us have heard the slogan, just do it. That's the Nike slogan. And it was designed to encourage people to buy the product. But many, many people, especially athletes, took that statement to encourage them to accomplish something. Just do it, no matter how hard it is. You know, I have never seen a spectator get a trophy yet. I've seen a lot of people, including myself, that have applied myself and worked hard and went on the field and played the game, get the trophy. You know, people sitting in the grandstands don't get no trophies. Come on now, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. When I was running track in high school, I would run. Rest of the team would go into the shower locker room, and I would stay out and I would run extra 220s. But that enabled me, when the time at the state track meet, that enabled me to have that little bit of extra. It took some hard work, but it paid off in the end. You know, little story. A professor in college was talking about different company slogans and what they meant and so forth and so on. And so he asked one guy, he said, which company has the slogan, fly the friendly skies? And of course, the guy answered with the correct airline. He asked a young lady, he says, what company has the slogan, don't leave home without it? And of course, they answered with the correct credit card company. And then he said, hey, John, tell me who has the slogan, just do it. And John immediately answered, Mom. Of course, now I don't know about you ladies, but none of us guys have never heard Mom say, just do it, have we? 100 times, maybe. Deuteronomy 28, 8 through 12 in the NLT says, the Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouse with grain. The Lord, your God, will bless you in the land he's given you. If you obey the commands of the Lord, your God, and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessings with many children, numerous livestock, abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in heavens, and will bless all the work you do. Get that word, work. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. And James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was or person. But he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Now I want to read that in the NLT. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what he says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you. Now you can see here that God's idea is that he wants us to do something. Sometimes we call it work. I mean, you know, in fact, in that one, it says work as we were reading it to you there. His blessing comes from doing what he said. In fact, God said, actually, work is an avenue where the blessings can come to you. See, real faith acts or works on God's word. You know, tonight I want you to realize the value of doing something, whether it's spiritual or natural. It's vital that we do what the word says, and it's vital that we do what is necessary in the natural to receive the blessings that come to us on the natural side. You know, the secret of success will not work unless you work it. Proverbs 14:23. Work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. The message says it this way: hard work pays off, mere talk puts no bread on the table. The voice says it this way: prosperity comes from hard work, but talking too much leads to great scarcity. The word work, labor, toil are not minor issues in the Bible. In fact, those words are used about 500 times in the Bible. Now, you start talking about work and people start, whoa. I don't know about you, but I've never got anything that I didn't put some effort in and work for it. That's on the athletic field. That's studying the Word of God. That's doing messages. Come on now. You know, you can't fulfill your destiny. You have to work at it. Just talking about it doesn't get you there. You know, anybody ever heard of a guy by the name of Henry David Thoreau? I heard about him in school. I don't know whether they still talk about him or not. How many of y'all heard about him in school? He said this: if you have built your castles in the air, your work need not be lost. That is where they should be. Now put the foundation under them. Think about that and you'll get that. Some of you didn't get that. Think about that. If you're going to build anything, you've got to have a foundation. Thomas Edison said this: opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. Now, he made that statement back when most of the people at work, they wore overalls. Anybody here ever wear overalls? I used to as a kid. I wore overalls. You know, Shakespeare, John Mason quotes him in his book, Conquering the Enemy Called Average. You know, I never did, and I like that book because I don't like second place. I like to win. But Shakespeare said, nothing can come of nothing. You know, people are always asking the Lord to bless them, but they're not giving him anything to work with. I used to hear my dad say, you know, people want a financial blessing. They want a spiritual blessing, but they're not giving anything for God to work with. In other words, you're supposed to give in the offerings, and then you're supposed to get in the Word and study the Word. Come on now. I better go on now. I can see I'm losing the crowd. I got to go on now. You know, Rhema just didn't happen. Now, it was God's idea. He told Dad. Dad said, you do it. But it's here because I was willing to commit to the hard work and to do whatever was necessary for it to become a success. You know, as I worked hard, but there were many miracles and supernatural things that God did, but they would have never come to pass if I hadn't have done my part. Have you ever noticed as you read the Word of God talks about if you do this, then He will do this. Anybody ever notice that reading the Bible? Thank God 25 of you have anyway. I hope the rest of you realize that. You know, the only place to start is where you are. 2 John 1:8. Watch out that you do not lose what we've worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Now, looking at the context of this scripture, it's telling us don't get deceived by false teachings, but that applies both on the spiritual side and on the natural side. Spiritually, don't let anyone talk you out of the faith that you've worked so hard to get there, where you're at now. Don't let somebody come by telling you something different. Paul said, if anybody comes teaching it something different than I have taught, forget about it. Even if I come back teaching it, you forget it. Didn't he say that? Yeah. Naturally, don't let somebody talk to you about letting go of a good, solid, stable job and go chasing after that's like trying to find the gold at the end of the rainbow. Many times, and I've talked to a lot of people, and they come to me and they talk to me about, well, I got this offer and blah, 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 blah. And I've told some of them, hey, stay where you're at. You know, it sounded good, but I don't know. It didn't ring true to me, and there are people that are under my leadership, and I told them to stay where they're at. Even some of them are sitting right here in this audience. You know, the starting point is not with what you don't have, but what you do have. That's your starting point, spiritually and naturally. All of us through the years have developed spiritually, but we didn't start where we are now. Come on. You know, I heard Dad tell this story many times. George Mueller had opened an orphanage years and years ago in the 1800s, I think it was, or the early 1900s, I don't know, in England. And he said, you know, it's just as easy for me to believe for $500 or $5,000, I forget which it was, today as it was for me to believe for $1 back then, because he started where he was at. Start where you're at. You know, some people, and I heard, and I learned this from my dad, and I learned it from myself, I've had to do it. You got to start believing God with the faith you've got. You start believing God with the faith you got, you'll find out that that faith will increase. Come on. You know, some people say, well, I can't do it because I don't have this or I don't have that. Well, wait a minute. Once again, John Mason, quoting another person, says, the question for each person to settle is not what he would do if he had the means, the time, the influence, the education, and advantages, but what will they do with the things they have? You know, I had a guy tell me one time, he said, well, if I had it, I'd give $100 in this offering that they was taking. And of course, y'all all know me. Sometimes I probably should keep my mouth shut, but this time I didn't. I said, no, you wouldn't, because you didn't give the dollar you got in your pocket. Hey, that's... You know, I've heard people through the years say stuff like that. Well, I would do this if I had it. I said no, and they wouldn't either because they're not working with what they've got. That's just somebody trying to ease their conscience. You know, if you're waiting for the perfect and ideal situation before you start something, you're never going to get there. Come on, spiritually or naturally, we have to start where we are. You know, I've talked to people and I ask them, well, why aren't you working? There's plenty of jobs available. Well, yeah, I know, but it doesn't pay enough. And this has been years ago, but I told a Rhema student that, standing right out there in front of SDC 1. He couldn't pay his bill. You know, he's tuition. And I said, well, there's all kinds of jobs available. Oh, I know, but they don't pay enough. And I looked at him and I said, well, something's better than nothing. You know, I told one guy one time, I said, yeah, it may not pay what you need, but start there until and get something coming in until you can get a job that's paying you what you need. You know, isn't it funny how some people think? Some people do that on the spiritual side too. Well, if I had the faith of so-and-so, I'd be in better shape too. Well, you know how they got that faith? By getting in the Word of God and putting a little work into it. Hello. I know I'm talking about work, and that's not a word that you paste on the front of the refrigerator. But work brings results, both in the spiritual side and the natural side. You know, some people, you know... they wonder why they haven't got promoted. But they're always looking at the clock. Oh, see when their shift's going to end, and they're the first one at the time clock to punch out. And then the last one to get there in the morning time, just so they get there, just so they get it just before the time clock goes to another place, you know. And, you know, they're wondering why they've never got promoted. You know, when a leader or a supervisor looks to promote somebody in an organization, they look to somebody that's applying themselves. You know. One time I was working at a place and they needed somebody to stay late. And they asked this other guy, and he said, oh, no, I can't do that. No, I'm him. And they asked me, I said, yeah, I can do that. You know, I mean, Oh, I was going to get some money, extra money for it anyway. So, I mean, you know. And so a couple of weeks later, the supervisor came out and said, "Hey, Hagen, come on with me. We want you to start working over here now." And that guy got mad at me because I got promoted, and he's still down there. And I told him, I said, "You had the opportunity first. You just didn't have enough sense to take it." Of course, that's me. You know, I don't mince my words sometimes. But sometimes people miss an opportunity because they're not willing to go the extra mile. That happens in church too. People are not willing. "Oh man, that service is so long. I know it'll be a long service. I ain't going tonight." I'm just saying, okay? I didn't say you were like that. I said some people are. You know, some people, there used to be an old saying, and the kids now don't understand it, but, you know, waiting for your ship to come in. Anybody ever heard that? You know, waiting for it to come to pass. Well, let's read from Genesis, okay? God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark." Now, there's one other translation that says make stalls in the ark. Now, I don't know where they got that from, but I didn't use that one. It says, and I went to every other translation I could look at, and all of them said rooms except that one translation. You need to look, when you're studying and you're looking at different translations, you need to look and see if they've added something that really wasn't there. Now, I guess they figure that, well, since they had the animals, they had stalls. So I guess that's why they put that in word instead of rooms. Everything else in it is okay except for that one area. So I didn't go with that, okay? Cover the inside and outside with pitch, or my one that translation all said tire. I don't know whether they had tire back then or not, but anyway, pitch. "And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its width shall be 50 cubits. Its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to the cubit over above the set. The door in the side of the ark, you shall make lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, which is the breath of life. Everything on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you." Now, if Noah had waited and hadn't went to work, he would have drowned with the rest of them, because he had the only boat there was. Come on now, I mean. That right there tells you, if you don't do what the Word of God tells you to do, it ain't gonna happen. Sometimes bad things can happen. But he worked hard to build the ark, and because of his hard work, he was protected. Hearing from God is great, but oftentimes hearing from God along with it is work. Hearing from God about building Rhema, that was God. But I'm gonna tell you what, it took a lot of hard work to start with two buildings of 6 acres and now 110 acres and 20 buildings. It just didn't happen because I said, "Well, we're going to do it." Come on now. You know, we need to be able to seize the moment and be willing to work when the opportunity is there. And the opportunity is always there to get into the Word and receive from the Word. Opportunities are there in the natural. The regrets that a lot of people have is from failing to act when they had the opportunity. That old boy had the opportunity that I just told you about. I took advantage of the opportunity and it paid off for me. See, some people, opportunity comes knocking at the door, but they don't take advantage of it. Now is the time to move with God. You know, now is the time. Every day is the time. If you need something, then you need to get involved with working faith. You have to work faith. It just doesn't happen. You work at it. Hello? How do I work at it? Well, I pray and I say it, according to Mark 11:23, and then I praise every day. I thank him for what I ask for. It's not always fun. I don't always feel like it. I pray every day. I don't always feel like praying. I'd rather do something else. Now, I'm being honest. I know none of you are like that, but, you know, I don't really like to get up at 6:30 on Sunday morning and get ready to come and minister to you. I'm not really a morning person. I'm more of a night person. Some people are morning people. Some people are night people. Hello? You know, I used to get tickled. I mean, my dad would say this, and that's how I, you know, it's, oh, man, you need to get up every day at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray and read the Bible. I told this one guy, I said, I'd rather pray and read about 1:30 in the morning. And then sleep in. Come on now. We need to get involved. This one lady said this. John Mason quotes it in An Enemy Called Average. Every day comes bearing its own gifts. Untie the ribbons. Or unwrap it, in other words, is what they're saying. Don't wait for something. Go after what God has put in your heart. Don't wait for in the natural for something to happen. You start working it, making it happen. You know, my dad, middle of my senior year, he finally was able to get me a car, and he handed me the keys in a toolbox. Well, I wanted twin pipes on that little old inline six Mopower, 99 horses with an ACE carburetor up there. See, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. So I take the manifold off of it. I take it down to the shop. And I get them to weld four cylinders on one side, two cylinders on the other. Then I come back. I get all the gold. I was working at Garland Auto Supply that summer as a delivery boy, delivering auto parts to all of the stores. And so I got 50% discount. So I got all of the everything I need to come off. With two pipes coming off, I got the hangers and everything that I needed. And it took, because I wanted that, it just didn't happen. I've had busted knuckles and cuts and everything else. But man, when it was finished, that thing purred like a kitten. In fact, everybody thought the way it sounded, they thought it had a V8. I'd put a V8 up there. But it happened because I was willing to work at it. I don't mean to put it on me, but I'm where I am today spiritually because I was willing to get into the Word of God, study the Word, do what the Word says, pray, listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of me, and then do what I was supposed to do, what God was asking me to do. You know what? It wasn't no fun. I was associate pastor, doing everything. I was it. I did the youth. I did the janitors. I dug ditches. I changed commodes and urinals, and I built buildings. I painted. I did all that. And I even one time decided I was going to go try out for a church, and I did. And then I realized that wasn't right. That wasn't what I was supposed to do. And I stayed there. But I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't stayed there and learned what God wanted me to learn, because I learned about building. I didn't know nothing about building, but my father-in-law did. He built three different churches, physically built them and spiritually built them, because he was a contractor and he built houses, and that's the way he paid for the family to live while he was building those churches. And so I learned about building. And I didn't know that a few years later, I was going to need that experience in order to do what God was asking me to do now. So what I'm saying to you, if God's got you somewhere, stay there until he tells you to leave. I'd still be there if he said to leave. He said to go do what I did then, what I'm doing now. All I'm saying is success in the spiritual area and in the natural area comes if you're willing to consecrate yourself and work hard. Somebody said, I'm waiting on God. Let me ask you a question. Are you waiting on God, or is he waiting on you? And I think you know what the answer is. You know, in John Mason quotes this again, E.M. Bounds said this, there is neither encouragement nor room in Bible religion for feeble desires, listless efforts, lazy attitudes. All must be strenuous, urgent, and ardent. In other words, he abounds and said that there's no room to be lazy. You need to be strong and chasing after the things of God. You know, when you bowl and you have worked by studying the word, and then something happens, immediately you are bold, and you immediately come up with the word of God flowing out of your mouth against the situation. That comes because you have worked at putting it in. Hello. And some people, it's not always fun to sit down and read the word of God. I mean, I enjoy reading the word, but sometimes, you know, I'm just being honest. How many of you be honest? Sometimes you just have to make yourself sit down and read the word. Because there's 100 things, other things you should be doing, need to do. But hey, this need is number one. Mason also again quotes Jonathan Winters, and he said, I couldn't wait for success, so I went ahead without it. You don't wait for success, you go out and make success. Tonight, it's 7:59, time for me to quit. I'm simply trying to encourage you to start working in both areas of your life, the natural and the supernatural, and so that you can be a success in everything that you do. That's what God wants. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. I tried to talk to these people to stir up their pure minds about things that they already know, but help us all to continue always to stay busy working in the Word for you. May we take our natural abilities and do what we can in the natural to be successful. I thank you that you want us to be successful in every area, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody stand. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? I'm just trying to encourage you. You already know most everything I said anyway. But Peter said to his people, he said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to paraphrase it, 2024 language. He said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to keep reminding you of these things. As long as I'm up here behind this desk teaching, I'm going to remind you of these things. Because sometimes, if we're not careful, we let things slip. Hello. How many of you guys, your wife has told you, hey, on the way home, stop by and pick up something. And you got home without it. You know, today I left the house and I'm headed out here. Or yesterday, yeah, I guess it was. No, it was yesterday. I guess, no, it was today. I don't know. Maybe it was. Anyway, I knew I had to go. I was supposed to go vote and I got fixing to get on the road. It was yesterday. Fixing to get on the road to the freeway, and I didn't vote. So I have to turn around and go back to the polling station by my house to vote. Because, you see, the last thing that we were talking about before I walked out of the house, Lynette said, now she had already went and voted. She said, now don't forget to vote. Well, I get in the car and I'm headed to what I'm supposed to do. But I forgot to vote. Sometimes if we don't remind ourselves of things and turn around and go back, I'm talking about doing what the Word says. Remind yourself. I remind myself daily. What comes out of your mouth from the Word of God is what you're going to get. Hello. Praise the Lord. Well, if you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is, you need to rededicate your life, or you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit according to what the Bible says, Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, Spirit, they gave them utterance. Or you need prayer for any reason, you need somebody to pray with you about something, the ladies are over here, the men are over here. As we're dismissed, you come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. Praise the Lord. Well, I guess we'll see you Sunday morning right here. Okay? Don't forget, what are you supposed to do? Spring forward. Because if you don't, you're going to be an hour late getting here. God bless you. If you need prayer for any reason, come on down here right now.